starlight, kicking around without you by my side makes me feel alright. I start this day as new until I wake up, find myself in a breakup. Today ain't gonna be great, but we can ride this through. You know that I need you sometimes, and I hold on to why. It don't matter what my reasons are, I still do love you, and I choose you, and so why don't you choose me too? And oh, it's no mistake, no, it's not even a lonely day, and I want you, so why don't you want me to change, babe? My bitter cold and dark days are staying away when I see you, and your beautiful ways. And to be idle, stop or go, I don't know. But if you're thinking about leaving me, no, 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 we can't get through this, just let's do this. Well, I need you sometimes, and I hold on to why. It don't matter what my reasons are, I still do love you, and I choose you, so why don't you choose me too? And oh, it's no mistake, no, it's not even a lonely day, and I want you, so why don't you want me to change, babe? My bitter cold and dark days are staying away when I see you, and your beautiful ways. And to be idle, stop or go, I don't know. But if you're thinking about leaving me, go, 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 we can't get through this, just let us do this. Well, I need you sometimes, and I hold on to why. It don't matter what my reasons are, I still do love you, and I choose you, and so why don't you choose me too? And oh, it's no mistake, no, it's not even a lonely day, and I want you, so why don't you honor me too?
All right, Hamilton.
Hey, welcome back to Steel City Music. Your host, Gunner, here on a fine Friday afternoon, and it's sunny outside, and the weather's fantastic. And you know I always do this in my intro, that I have no idea what's happening, because this is a pre-recorded show now, because for about 6 months now, we can't get into the radio station. So for 6 months now, this is what we can't do. Well, I mean, we could have, like last week, a little bit before, but we could go out and go shopping, but I had to stay 6 feet apart from you. I had to put a mask on. I'm cool with all of those things, all right? Now, if I want to go eat or drink somewhere, I can go on a patio. That's cool. Life is starting to come back to normal. Oh my God, this is crazy. Music is starting to happen around Hamilton again. Who thought? There's like a club over here opening up, a patio reopening, some shows are happening, people are still doing shows online, and then lo and behold, it's coming down the pipe. Here it comes, folks. Live from the Mule Spinner, Laura Cole. It's her birthday on September 25th. I'm sending her messages. Laura, are we going to talk about this? Laura, when's a good time? Laura, finally get a hold of her. And what does Laura say to me on the phone? Laura, say it right now.
Absolutely. And you mean about talking about like the
25th
release party?
What happened?
Yeah, the 26th. Well, you know, as we're all aware, it's COVID time,
mm-hmm.
and it's been the weirdest thing probably everybody will ever go through.
Yeah.
And as we all know, you know, restrictions were kind of whittled down again.
Last week or a couple days ago, they changed all the parameters again.
All the parameters again, which, you know, is a huge bummer because I did have this amazing release show, which, you know, I have so much fun playing live. It's a lot different when you're trying to portray this entire thing to a screen and not knowing how
right.
people are
yeah.
handling it. You know,
yeah.
You know, it's hard to read the room when you can't see anybody.
But,
yeah, but you know what? It's all good. We're going to have a release party at some point for this, you know, when we all can get together again.
Yeah.
Yeah, we basically canceled the event just because if, you know, I couldn't live with myself if something had happened. And plus, you
yeah.
know,
well, people,
no, nobody really needs a $10,000 fine.
No, no one needs a $10,000 fine. And, you know, I get it, too, as a citizen and everything, you know, and as a live music fan, as an entertainment fan and a booster of Hamilton music and arts and everything. I look forward to the fact that things were starting to open up again. And it's like a ray of light. I get it. Right. So, but
for sure,
but you're right, though. I mean, can, you know, say if you still carried on with the event. And, you know, and it was like you had 100 people there, that sort of thing. And you're selling tickets and then it just doesn't look right. It doesn't feel right. And if someone got sick, there you go. Aside from the fine that would happen.
Yeah, well, that's the whole thing. I mean,
yeah.
money is money. But when you're playing with people's lives in a way and I just
yeah,
I didn't really feel comfortable to follow through with it.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of my band members are older.
Right.
You know, like my dad in
yeah.
my band. So
and, well, that's a very important point as well. You know, you got to look out for your family as well. So we have the live music that was done at the Mule Spinner. When was that? When was that recorded?
That was November 30th in 2019.
Yeah. And
yeah.
How did you put all that together? What was the inspiration of going down there? Was it Steve Deeps bugging you saying, "Come on down and do this"? Was it Glenn Marshall? Who was it?
Yeah, Steve actually did reach out to me and, you know, offered to host us at the Mule Spinner. And it's always been such a beautiful building. You know, I know Glenn and Bob very well. And I was at, you know, Brantford Arts Block. We go back to that time, at least Glenn and I do. And I've known Bob my entire life. So when I got the opportunity to play at the Mule Spinner, I thought it would be so perfect because, you know, it's a beautiful room. I spent my entire year last year traveling. I wasn't home. I didn't play any shows besides this one. And
well, I would see these odd pictures on Instagram and it come in on my feed and it would be you, I think, in Seattle.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and
in
it was
Seattle.
Yeah. You were in Seattle and you had this little guitar and I'm like going, wait a sec. Where is she? What's going on?
Yeah, so I'm just getting my teaching visa last year, and I lived in New Orleans, sunk myself into that culture and the music vibes. I mean,
right.
New Orleans has always been one of my favorite places. I really got to sink myself in there. I lived there for 5 months, and then I moved out to Seattle, where I did have some shows as well.
It won't leave you standing tall and sift all the possibilities. That leap of faith just might make you fall down to your knees.
it doesn't have to turn out well. At the very least, you'll have a story to tell. Nah, what doesn't kill you makes you stronger. Play your part, get lost, go out or wander. Stars can't shine without the dark. Risk life, risk living. Goal that's out of reach. It seems I'd sense that once inside for me. And this globe's your oyster, pearl. It takes all sorts of people to make a perfect world with an optimistic attitude. What you put in can make aspirations come true. Fortune favors the bold, but your time's worth more than the highest carat gold. Yeah, what doesn't kill you makes you stronger. And play your part, get lost, go out and wander. Stars can't shine without the dark. Risk life, risk living, and risk love. You could be able. You should have a light heart. And you could be noble, yeah. A masterpiece of art. And you could be adored. You left so much unexplored. Take a chance for romance and always wanting more. Stars can't shine without the dark. Risk life, risk living, and risk love. What doesn't kill you makes you stronger. And play your part, get lost, go out and wander. Stars can't shine without the dark.
Sorry, this album here, though, that you recorded live, were these songs a culmination of your travels, or were these just songs that you had in your back pocket before?
It's actually a collaboration of my first record, Dirty Cheat. Mm-hmm. It's a mixture. I also have one song that Harvey Summers and I wrote alongside Chris Charkos for the UK album called Human, which was super, super fun. And then we also have a mixture of part of my unreleased album, the Peace of Paradise album. I like to call it my long overdue release, which will be released in early spring next year. Everything just kind of, all of my works kind of wrapped into one, plus a few cover tunes of my favorite artists.
Right. But these albums, though, over the amount of time that you've been putting them together, why is it so close for Peace of Paradise and Live at the Mule Spinner? What was the reasoning why these two are so close in the release dates?
Oh, yeah. I really believe that Peace of Paradise is a summer album. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you've heard it yet, but it's generally like it's a very, sunny day vibe, kind of island vibe. And I just don't think it's not a great idea for me to release that in the fall. And I have this really big goal for, I turned 30 last year. So I have this big goal, and I want to do 10 albums in 10 years.
Okay, well, that's not a big goal. That's a doable goal, man. You can do that.
It's doable. Yeah, totally. And I think it was a good idea for me to do a live set and kind of cover all my bases and remind myself and remind the band and remind all my fans and family and friends that, you know, this is kind of me getting back on the horse. I haven't released something in over 5 years, you know.
Right.
It's been quite a while, so I've just been really antsy to do something. And during COVID, you know, when everything shut down, I really had time to step back, which, I mean, I was very grateful for. I had time to step back. I was spending a lot of time at home, and it made me dig deeper into these songs that I've recorded that I've never released,
mm-hmm.
including that Piece of Paradise album or my first EP that I did in California 8 years ago. I still haven't released that. Like,
there's this feeling that I told you, this feeling in my soul, yeah. This feeling that just won't go away.
2, 3.
I've been trying to show you, so you can't say I never told you. Wait a while and try another day. But if you want flowers, then I'd find a bouquet. And yeah, if you want sunshine, I would lead you to Ace. Well, I'll give way to my feeling. I'm held up by both hands. For you, I'd surrender. With your temptation so pleasing, it's hard to conceive it. And oh, baby, you've got me in awe. You were always worth an apology, saturated in sorries. Well, I'd give you my all. And if you want flowers, yeah, I'd find a bouquet. Yeah, if you want sunshine, you to Ace, and I'll give way to my feelings. I'm held up by both hands. For you, I'd surrender. Oh, my man. I'll lead you to rest. I'm held up by both hands. For you and surrender. Oh, my man.
Mark Howard and Daniel Lanois on that. It was awesome, but I just haven't.
You just haven't released it. Well, why do you think that is? Because it doesn't sound intentional. The timelines. I mean, what you said about the whole. This is a summer album, so this is the type of music that I would want to put out in the summertime. But you just said you worked with Mark Howard and Dan Lanois, you know, two great Hamiltonians who went on to like produce pretty much everybody under the sun for the longest time. And yet that hasn't come out. Is it? What is it that's holding you back? Is it just? Is it anxiety? Is it fear that it's not going to be received properly?
No, you know what? It's not really, I mean, there's just no really specific reason. You know, a few of the songs that I did with Lanois and Howard are covers, and I didn't want to release that as my first body of work.
Okay.
Just because I didn't want to be known as like a cover artist, for example. I didn't want to be pegged as that. And I mean, my album was, we started working on my album, the first one, Dirty Sheet. We started working on that very closely after I did this EP. And, you know, I just felt so much more comfortable with, you know, releasing an album that I've written first.
Right, so you wanted to show people that you are a singer-songwriter or writer. Before you did get pigeonholed into something that you just didn't want to, like, a lot of people make a great career out of singing covers and everything, but you just didn't want to be pigeonholed as that. You want to show yourself first, and then down the line you're going to release
exactly.
It. Yeah. Well, that makes sense. Hey, it's Steel City Music. Your host Gunner here. I'm talking with Laura Cole. She's from Hamilton. Well, she's from New Orleans for a while. And she's also from Seattle and wherever else that we see her on social media. And it's great, finally, a chance to catch up with her. And we're chatting about some of her albums. Live at the Mule Spinner is up on Bandcamp as well as also Piece of Paradise and Come Be With Me, Love are on there as well. And there's also some more releases, so you should go and check them out. And we've been talking about some of the different music that she's been putting out and who she's been working with. Tell us a little bit about what you learned from working with what you've learned from Mark Howard and Dan Lanois working with them to how you operate as an artist now, as yourself, as your own unit.
I would say, I mean, I grew up with Dan Lanois. I mean, not at the same time because he's quite a bit older than me, but
right. But isn't your dad friends with him?
Yeah, they've been like best friends since high school.
Right. Okay.
Like grade 9 or something. But
yeah.
Yeah. So I mean, I kind of lucked out in a way because I've gotten to sit at Dan's board and watch him work, whether it's with me or whether it's with a different person or if he's just working on a mix. You know, I get to watch that creation. I get to wait. I get to hang out and see what it takes. You know, I mean, he's produced the most incredible albums. I mean, they're moments in history of music. You know,
right? So you absorbed all of you absorbed the experience of being there, but you weren't intimidated by it.
I think if I didn't have the previous connection that I did that I have with Lanois, then I probably would have been very nervous.
Right.
But I mean, you know, he's my Uncle Dan. It's like, you know, I'm kind of the one that gets to poke at him and ask the questions that people would be usually maybe too scared to ask. Right.
Right.
And yeah, I mean, it's, it's made me realize very fast that even if you are at the top, you're still a normal person. You know, you're still a normal person. It doesn't matter what you've done, really.
Right.
I mean, there's all sorts of respectable things, and I have high, high respect for a lot of musicians, but I do think, you know, it, growing up with Lamwah, it was just kind of, I recognized that so fast, and right. it's an easier way for me to connect with people than, you know, being starstruck.
There was a death in paradise, some trouble in love. I'm on the stairway to hell, but I can't seem to get enough. And you're a cold-blooded lover, you've got a radical eye. This is the funeral party. Dark, here in this unseen world, you say I got no future, yeah, but I'm not that type of girl, and you're a cold-blooded lover, you've got a radical eye, yeah. And this is the funeral.
Treat them as an equal and as a human being. Now, how does it differ working with from Lamwah to Mark Howard?
With Mark, Mark and I didn't really get to sit around too much for like when Mark Howard would be working with Dan. But yeah, I mean, I learned a lot from him too. When we did this EP, I mainly recorded it with Howard,
mm-hmm.
and Lamwah and I did a cover of "To Make You Feel My Love." And it was a really cool process because that was my first real big recording session, I guess, let's say.
How did that make you feel?
It was really awesome because he took me around to different studios, right? So I didn't just get to sit in one studio. I got to go to Tony Mangurian's studio, who wrote all the Luscious Jackson records, and work with David Kalish, who played in Little Feat for 14 years after Lowell died. And, you know, I got to work with all these really cool people. I broadened my, you know, my musical understanding hugely because of the wide variety of songs that we did. You know, there was one that's more of like a funk tune. There's one that's kind of a reggae tune. And it was really fun to explore, and Howard really made me realize that I can use my voice in all sorts of different ways.
Right.
You know, especially when it came to different genres and different vibes. And
yeah.
Yeah, it gave me a lot of confidence that way as a performer. And yeah, just the process was so intriguing to me.
Now, has being opening up to like different styles, as you say, that Howard has helped you with, has that changed how you approached writing songs at all?
I think it's given me the confidence to write something that's out of character for me.
To step out of your comfort zone.
Yeah. And I think that really helped. It helps me so much all the time with songwriting.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was really encouraging. It was a great, you know, it was a really fun experience. And I also got to work on the Ladies of the Canyon record with Howard, and, you know, met great, great people and had the best time. And I got to watch him create this record from, you know, start to finish, which was amazing. It was so, you know, the vibe of the room was very chill. He realizes his, like, why he's there. You know, it's never about anything trivial. It's all about the artist. It's all about pulling something out of them that maybe they didn't know they had inside of them. You know, I think that's one of Mark and Lanois' biggest qualities, that they can pull something out.
Baby, see how I've been living. Velvet curtains on the window too. Keeps it bright and unforgiving. Light from shining through. Baby, I remember all the things we did when we slept together in the blue behind your eyelids, baby. Sweet baby, trace your sin through the gloom till I found these purple flowers. Dirt flowers last for you, baby. Sweet baby. Tangerines and persimmons and sugar cane. Grapes and honeydew melon, and not fit for a queen. They don't make a sound till the branches bend and fruit fall to the ground, baby. Sweet baby. Changed, 'cause I finally did it, baby. I got out of Hamilton, baby, sweet baby. If it's all the same, I
take the glory any day over the fame, baby. Sweet baby. Fruits of my labor, and I've been crying for you, boy, but the truth is my savior, baby, sweet baby. If it's all the same, I'd take the glory any day over the fame, baby. The fruits of my labor. I've been crying for you, boy, but the truth is my savior. And baby, listen, baby, if it's all the same, I'd take the glory any day over the fame, baby. Sweet baby.
When you say that pull something out of somebody, is it, how do you how did that make you feel when that happened to you, in regards to, as an artist, having someone make you like look at what you thought was a limitation that you could push past that?
At first I was kind of, I mean, you know, I was young.
Well, yeah, but even first, if you're young, you get defensive. Right?
Exactly. That's what I was going to say. Of course, I got defensive. I was, you know, I thought I knew everything, but, but I've, you know, of course I know that I don't. And it really, I mean, it's just, it's been such an incredible ride so far. And when it comes down to it, I mean, those guys really inspired me. They've opened up musical doors. I mean, mainly Lanois has opened up his entire musical life to me, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, I'm so lucky. Like, I know I'm so lucky. I know that. And, but I never take it for granted. You know, mm-hmm. I take every moment that I spend with Lanois to learn something. He's very eloquently spoken. He's, you know, he encourages me to be my best self, which is something not a lot of, I mean, I guess that's kind of the job of a mentor, but.
Yeah, well, it is a job of a mentor. It is. Absolutely.
Yeah. So, I mean, he really, you know, he really, really, I don't know. He made me feel uncomfortable that I, like, you know, getting out of my shell. It took me a while to find my voice even, mm-hmm. you know, and maybe that's why I haven't released those tracks yet. Who knows?
That could be possibly the reason, you know?
Yeah.
But
yeah.
It also could be, and I'm just, you know, I'm just on the outside here, is that is a totally different person than you are now.
Exactly.
Like, you know, when, oh God, you've gone through it and we've all gone through it. When the parental units go, hey, let's look at pictures of Laura when she was 7. Like, no, don't show anyone this. Please stop. You're killing me here.
Right. Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
and that's,
exactly.
And that's, you know, oh, here's my album that I did with these guys and they're really well renowned, but that's not me anymore.
Exactly. Which I think, you know, there's something to be said for that as well. I have recordings from when I was 18, you know, I have two tracks that I started in New Orleans last year with members of the Neville Brothers, Brian yeah. Stoltz and Daryl Johnson, you know, like I have all this music, but I think it's been a bit of a, you know, not a struggle, but I think I'm like overthinking my branding a bit and
that,
stuff like that.
You might actually be right on that. You know, I recently did you know, when I say interview, I don't like saying interview. Because for some strange, I just don't. I feel like I'm a knob myself going, oh, well, I had the time to interview, blah, blah. It's like, shut up. You had a talk. You were talking with them. You had a chat.
It
Like, this is us. This is us chatting. You know, like, what do I work for Rolling Stone? Work for Rolling Stone? Shut up, you knob. You know, it really is an obnoxious thing to say sometimes. I'm sorry. I'm ranting a little bit, but I really.
No, it's fine.
You know, but it's just so funny.
Get it out.
I know, but when you say stuff like that, it's just like, oh, man, shut up. You're not an interviewer. You never were. So stop it. But.
I say you're an interviewer. You're doing a good job.
But I call them chats. But I was actually chatting with Gareth Inkster last week. And you know, Gareth's doing this online thing coming up on the 25th. It's part of this the Do Well concert. There's an album being released. And there's a whole bunch of other people. And he said something that was so interesting in the chat. He brought up an author's name. And he said, no matter if it's good or bad, just do it, because it's better to do it and fail than to have never like done it. Like you have to,
it's true.
Even if it's bad, you should still put it out, you know, because here is something that you have done, you know?
Well, and I think, you know, even some of the songs that I've put out, they might not be my best song. They might not be my favorite song, but they are to somebody else. And mm-hmm. I found that so interesting. And, you know, Melissa Marchese is my best friend from Hamilton, Ontario. She's also a singer.
I love her.
I know, me too. She's the best. And during our COVID hangouts, she was like, hey, remember that time you made like 3 albums and didn't release any of them?
Thank you.
I was like, okay, fair enough. But, you know, she's been a big hand in guiding me and trying to, you know, kind of encourage me, you know, encourage me to put this stuff out. Like I said, it might not be my favorite, but it might be somebody else's, you know.
Might be. Well, with these albums that are coming out now. Okay, so you did that stuff with the Neville Brothers, you said. You have these 2 songs and this track. So that stuff could be put together on the next album that you put together, a collection of songs, that sort of thing. But where are you now as far as your music camp? Because I talk about this with older artists, younger artists, that sort of thing. Like, who surrounds you that helps you get your music out there? And because, you know, I mean, people can go to Bandcamp and they can find it. But who's out there actively going, hey, this is Laura Cole. She's from Hamilton, Ontario. She's available for interviews. Like, who's trying to push you towards people to listen to your music?
I mean, I currently don't have a PR agent or anything like that. But I've been single-handedly doing all my managerial and the booking of interviews and stuff like that.
Right.
And I mean, I've taken it on to do by myself until I can't. Right. We're almost there.
We just got to get rid of this stupid pandemic. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. And that's the other thing. I mean, I can't release a studio album at the beginning of a pandemic. It just, you know, it's something I really want to tour. You know, Chris and I made this album. We're both so proud of it. And we know it has a lot of potential. Not only with, you know, the songs that we wrote, but our production style and everything, really. Mm-hmm. So I just chose not to put it out. But I think this live record, it bridges everything, you know. When it comes to my work, I look at the big picture, you know. I want to see or be remembered of times that I've gone through in my life when I look back at my catalog. And that not only will come through in songwriting or things like that, but, you know, last year was kind of the first year of the rest of my life, you know. I ended up working with Kim Mitchell a whole bunch. I sang on his new record, and we just did a tour right before COVID hit.
That's right. I saw some pictures of you singing backups.
Yeah. So he was just inducted to the Songwriter Hall of Fame and did a little bit, you know, Kim's a rocker, right?
Yeah.
So he toned down like 4 songs, and we sang them together at the beginning of the first set, and it was just so special.
Was that with a full band, or was it just yourself and him?
It was me, Kim and a piano player.
Oh, okay. Right. Yeah. So that kind of lends to you, to what you're doing in that soul singing funk vibe.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
That makes sense that you were doing it out there. I want to ask this question earlier when you were talking about the influences, when we're talking about writing music and everything. Ladies of the Canyon, has that led you to try to do some songs in the country vein, in the indie folk vein, that sort of thing?
Oh man, I get this question a lot.
Do you really?
Yeah,
I only thought of that just because of the Ladies of the Canyon comment that you made, because when I first saw you, I was DJing at This in Hollywood, and I think it was like 5 or 6 or 7 years ago. Like, it was a long time ago. And
yeah,
there was
sounds
like,
about right.
Yeah, yeah. And there was like, I was like, there was like, there was like a good crowd that came in, and I think there was like a lot of people. I'm going, I think most of these people are Burlington people. And I like, you know, I thought Pete Cannon or Pete was there, and Adam Cannon, and like just different people that I had met through the radio station. And I didn't really know that much about you. And then when you hit the stage, it was just like, boom. Like your band was just super tight, and you had like some great vocals. And the first couple songs, I went, oh, no one's doing this. Not like it was like something brand new that you were doing, but to me, it had the vibe of Northern Soul out of the UK.
Love it.
Like you know. And I was actually just talking about Northern Soul to another friend of mine who had no idea what it was, and it was me. It was like Discovery Pro.